Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
It's time to shake out your money-making truth. You're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Have you ever wondered why some people work really hard for their money while others live lives of joy and abundance with seemingly little effort? You are about to learn powerful, tangible steps to shifting your mindset and connecting to your flow of money and abundance. Jennifer teaches you to connect to who you are at a soul level, and how to use that connection to create a personal and specific relationship with money. Learn how money is a powerful tool to achieve your desires and your desires to then serve the world. So shake out your money-making truth right now. Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.
Hello and welcome, everyone. I'm Jennifer Bloom, host of Soul Wisdom Abundance, Create Wealth Through Spiritual Health. If you are here for the first time, I'm really glad that you're joining in. And if you've been here for several different editions, I'm really glad that we're finding something common that we all want to talk about. And I tell you what, if you are interested in letting me know a little bit about more about what you might want to hear on one of these podcasts, join me over on my Facebook page, which is Soul Abundance Guide. You're going to find a lot more information, and you can also message me. Let me know what you think. Let me know if you have questions. Okay. Really, really would love to hear from each of you. Okay. Okay. So let's jump into our topic today. And I'd like to introduce it this way. And then I will introduce my fantastic guest. So let's say that you want to do something new, or there's something that you have a question about. What's the first thing that you do? Well, chances are you're going to ask somebody else, right? You're going to ask what their answer is. You're probably going to go to the Google and then, you know, see who can give you information. And, you know, if what you're looking for is how to fix your faucet, or if you're somebody like me and you love hosta and you have slugs all over them and there's nice little holes in the leaves, you're going to, that's another good way to reach out for somebody else. But if you are looking for an answer to something where it's much more personal to you, and I don't mean private, but I mean something that really is specifically involving you, reaching out to somebody else, you don't want that to be the only answer. And here's why. When you do that, you take yourself out of the equation, and that has the possibility of ending in a sort of a crash and burn situation, right? So when you are reaching out for help, you want to make sure that you are engaging somebody who understands that you need to be part of the situation. And my guest certainly understands that. And I don't want to suggest that we don't ask for help, because we don't ask for help often enough, honestly. But we don't need to reinvent the wheel, but we do need to be involved. So and that's going to really to truly impact your bottom line with no matter what you're doing. So let's start the conversation by, I'm going to introduce Angela Johnson to you. I'm so glad that you're here.
I'm so glad to be here. I can't wait for this conversation.
Yes. So you have quite the background in this, right? Because as you started your business, you invested a significant amount of money. And then when the models didn't work, you were told what to hustle more, do a little bit more. It had to be you. You're the problem, blah, blah, blah. Right. Yep. Yep. And through your own process of, in your words, burning things down and learning how to tune into you in specific ways, really able to build a business that is parallel with you. And now you teach other people to do the same thing. So I'm delighted to have you here. And I think it's going to be a really juicy conversation.
Yeah. Again, thank you so much for the space to have this conversation. I find that these conversations lets people know that they're not crazy. They're not letting fear make another decision, which is what I was always told, that they're actually, their soul is saying, hey, there might be another possibility here. There's a reason why this feels so, misaligned, or, you know, it feels differently for different people. But I love having these conversations, because it really helps people understand what's happening in different situations in their life.
beautifully said. And I love that you've brought the word soul in right away. I think that sometimes that word's a little scary for people. It sounds, and I want to say woo-woo, and I get mad at myself every time I say that word because I don't really believe in woo-woo. It just, we have different ways of looking at the world. And when we look through that spiritual vibrational lens, there's a lot of important information that we can garner. And so if we can make soul more of a common word, we're all going to be better off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love, woo is just how the universe works.
Yeah, right.
It's just how life goes. So.
Right. There's no need to apologize for it. That's a soapbox issue for me. I'll stay off of it. So can you share a little bit more about, let's start kind of talking a little bit about the journey that you were on to get you to this point of really having experienced it for yourself.
Yeah, well, so my journey started, you know, really in my corporate career. You know, the longest I had a job was 2.5 years. And so I would job hop a lot, thinking, well, the next job is going to be different. The next job is going to be different. And there was just, and I've had this little voice, you know, in my head the whole time, ever since I was in kindergarten. That was the first time I specifically recall this kind of questioning of like, is this all there is? Like, why are so many people happy? You know, in kindergarten, I was looking around going,
wow, that's
why
are so intense.
Many people like so happy to just be learning letters? Like, can we do more, please? You know, and I was like, so this is, you know, welcome to the way my brain works,
which right.
is great and also problematic sometimes because it doesn't necessarily fit into how the world works. And so 2008, just as the housing market was crashing in the United States, I had that notorious meeting with my boss and said, yeah, your last date is going to be, and basically I was laid off. It was a legal way to fire me. And I just looked at that as the swift kick in the pants from the universe of, oh, okay, there is something more for me to do. And at that time, I kept dreaming about hosting women's conferences. And I knew that when we can empower, starting with ourselves, other women in our own backyard, the global impact that can have. And I've just always seen like all these world problems. I'm like, this isn't hard to solve. We have to start with our own communities and our own family and ourselves first. And then we can actually have the capacity and the ability to impact the causes that we believe in. Like that's always been my philosophy. So I got laid off, fired, and that was the, I'm going to do this. I'm going to host women's conferences. How hard can it be?
How hard indeed.
And that's what started my entrepreneurial journey. And so shortly after that, I hosted my first conference, had 250 attendees. It was fantastic. And I also lost $40,000.
Okay.
Yep. And that was a really big, I was devastated, you know, and I thought, well, and then it made sense. It was like, well, I had no profit plan. I had no idea what my numbers were. Like I was just blindly following my passion. Like I took that, you know, do what you love and the money will come. I took that to the nth degree and I was completely not grounded in numbers, cash flow. Like I was quite frankly, very irresponsible. And so when that occurred, I thought, well, I've got to pay this money. And these were, you know, invoices that were, you know, due yesterday. It was like, well, how am I going to do all this? And so I figured it all out. But that was also the time when I thought I need help. Just like what we were talking about at the very beginning of, I need help. And so I went to someone who it sounded really amazing. And the first year it was great. You know, when I hired this coach, I made 6 figures within 10 months. Mm-hmm. And that was the kind of money I'd never seen in my whole life. But the truth of the matter is that money was going out faster than it was coming in. And I was paying off a $40,000 debt as well. And so I was on this bandwagon of more, faster, better, hustle, you know, the grind and being told things like, you have to work harder than you've ever worked so that you can someday, it was always this delayed, you know, satisfaction and joy, then you can have the success later. And I recall one day I went to my coach and on our coaching call and I said, so there's this person and we both, you know this 7-figure business owner that she's talking about, you know, riding horses and going on these vacations and she has a 90-minute lunch every day. And I said, I want that. How do I have that? She said, that's not possible until you work and you get these things. You know, you've got to work for at least 3 years harder than you've ever worked. And I remember that conversation going, clearly she knows what she's doing for her. But I didn't have the language or the awareness to differentiate why that felt so completely crappy when I was hearing that. It was just like I could hear it, but there was nowhere for it to land. And my whole, like, just that pit in my stomach was like, I didn't know this was what I was signing up for. Like, this kind of sucks. You know, yeah. This really is not fun. And so that's when I started just really, I'm really great at asking questions, even when it's inconvenient, of just like, maybe there's another way to do this. And so in my second year of coaching with this person, that's when I really saw, wow, I'm actually being taught some marketing strategies and sales strategies that are just flat out manipulative. Mm-hmm. Like, this just doesn't feel good. I don't want to treat people this way, let alone be treated this way. And I'm allowing myself to be treated this way. And so now in hindsight, you know, that was 2009, 2010, I can look back at that and the conversations that I was having with a coach that I was paying, you know, a lot of money to, we're talking over $10,000 a year. If I was to have that conversation with my spouse, there would be a word for that. And that's called abusive. You know, and so I just now I'd like looking at that and go, wow, I allowed myself to be abused and I paid them for it.
Right.
I was taught to implement these strategies. So that was this whole unraveling and really questioning, do I even want to be part of the coaching industry? Do I want to be part of these 3-day events which promise XYZ, but it's really a 3-day sales pitch? Right. And the whole time I just thought, I know there's another way to do this. And so that's when I burned my business down. It took me a few years to really unravel this because I needed a few more lessons with hiring really expensive, what I call the guru coaches of, you know, one size fits all, just do what I tell you to do, that kind of a thing. And so it was that same pattern of job hopping, thinking it's got to be different with the next job, just coach hopping. It's got to be different with this next coach. Like, this coach is talking about soul and intuition. Oh, but how they're actually delivering their service has nothing to do with that. I didn't even know to ask better questions.
Right. So, a lot of this can get masked, right? It's still external.
Yeah.
You can talk about soul. You can talk about manifesting. You can talk about using the universe. But when it comes right down to it, if you don't involve yourself, if you don't know who you are and what you're in alignment with, it's never going to work. Right. And you've got to find that way of tuning in. And, you know, I had a coach at one point say, you know, I'm teaching you all of this because I don't want you to ever have to go through what I went through. Mm-hmm. I think there's a little bit of truth to that. But then I also think, you know, we have to, instead of being taught to skip over a whole bunch of steps, why not get taught how to listen to that voice inside?
Exactly.
Right. You know, because I don't know that we can skip a whole bunch of steps. I think part of that is the alignment process, right? It's not an overnight success. I know the first time that somebody told me that after learning about manifesting and all of this, who told me, you know, there's still going to be some pain and struggle and contrast in your life. I'm like, what? I thought the universe was all about sunshine, roses, and lollipops. And I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer here about it, but the shortcut, if there is one, is truly about tuning in. Yeah. And tuning in before the action step and learning whether it's sort of the baloney meter, bullshit meter, right? Or whether it's really being able to hear what next steps are. That can all help you truly make a difference in what it is that you're offering as a business owner.
Absolutely. And I find that the difference between what's uncomfortable and where that stretch zone is and what's misaligned, like, that's the practice. Because I see a lot of people, a lot of my clients when they first start working with me is, this is not meant to be, it's out of alignment. And I was like, well, how do you know it's out of alignment? How does it feel in your body? Or like, how is your intuition communicating this to you? Well, I feel this, I feel that. It's like, well, is that resistance? And you're getting in your own way, or is it truly misaligned? Because there have been times when it's absolutely aligned, and actually every time it's aligned and I really go for something, it's incredibly uncomfortable. Like, it does. So this whole, it's got to feel good. It's like, well, what does that mean? You know, it can feel grounded and centered and I can be uncomfortable as hell, but it's still aligned. And I think that's almost the double-edged sword of just, you know, the catch 22, if you will, of, but that's the practice. And so once we start trusting ourselves, then we can find those nuances within how it, how our body's responding, where our mind is going, how it feels. I'm just like, this is my recalibration process. Like I'm calibrating to the version of me that I say that I want, and it's uncomfortable, and it's still aligned. It still is creating greater. And I think that's like, that's the ultimate practice.
Absolutely.
Using your intuition in your whole life.
Absolutely. So one of the ways that I describe that state is I talk about it as the being state. Mm. So being that in, so another way to say that is that internal state. What do you notice when you are in that state of being? Like, what kinds of cues are you getting? How does it feel? And of course, this is going to be different for everybody, but let's, how does it feel in your body when you're in alignment?
Yeah, well, I feel more grounded. I feel more centered. And so I actually, when I, when I'm out of alignment, that's typically where I go. Then I feel it all in my head. And it's like a swirling energy of like, what about this? What about that? And I just drive myself insane with complicating the hell out of everything. So yeah. I know that, that there's something off when I start complicating things, or I suddenly get very confused. Like I forget, like, I think I forgot how to make money. Like I've had that thought before of like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to do this. Oh, I've only done this for, you know, over a decade, and I teach other people to do it. So wait a second, what's going on? What's distracting my energy here? And so when it feels in alignment, when it is in alignment, then it's, I'm grounded, I'm centered, and I can still have like the nerves and the butterflies and they're like, holy crap, am I really going to do this? But there's something, there's a deeper energy that goes through my entire body and into the earth rather than it's from my head up.
Love that description. Yes, absolutely. I think that, again, can be different for different people, but that difference between it being all up here, like from the neck above, mm-hmm. or when you start to feel it in your body, getting some sort of body sensation. Yeah. And it can take practice, right? If you're somebody who's been a little bit cut off from your body, or you're just not used to tuning in from that way, right? We're used to tuning in a lot of other ways. But we try to do it from the neck up only, that's a pretty, you know, sort of that warning sign, right? Okay, hey, let's shift this around. I talk to people about, imagine you can drop your consciousness down into your heart center. And not even knowing how to do that, just ask, right? Just ask divine intelligence to drop that consciousness out onto your heart center. And then all of a sudden things, for me, they get still, right? So instead of that blazing round and round, there's a stillness. And I can go, that's the path. That's the road. Even though there is that line between excitement and fear, right? But I can tell that those are the steps to take.
Yeah, you know, one thing I'll add here, and this could be an entirely different podcast, and so I don't want to open up a can of worms, but I just want to also acknowledge something, I think, especially for women, that a lot of times being in our bodies has not been a safe place to be.
Yeah.
Whether there's been abuse or trauma, but trauma could be walking down the street and someone catcalling you. Or, you know, we can look at all the patriarchy and all the things, but I just want to acknowledge that when we talk about, like, how does it feel in your body? Like the invitation to actually be in your body can feel very scary. And so if you notice that in this conversation, it's just like, that's the practice. Like, and so I really feel like our intuition gets deeper. This has been my experience this year anyway, I'll speak for myself. My intuition has gotten deeper as I've healed more and more trauma.
Yes, there's so many things to say about that.
Yeah, and like I said,
but it's important though, because I think it's one of those places that we end up resisting and we don't know why.
Right?
Like it's safer up in the head sometimes, right? But if I come down into my body, not so much, right? I mean, I can think of, you know, personally, you know, my grandmother looking me up and down after not seeing me for a while going, you're a size blubbity-bub now, quite a sturdy girl, right? From that to the myriad other horrendous things that can happen to the body.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So again, let's talk about it as what it is and that it is a practice. I love that word because it isn't going to be instantaneous. And the more that you develop that relationship with your body, through the divine, through your heart, instead of through these, through things that may have happened externally, the more you're going to open up to receiving that wisdom. Right. So I tell you what, I think this is a good time to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to, we'll have lots more to talk about. So for now, this is Soul Wisdom Abundance on Transformation Talk Radio. We'll take a short break and we'll be back soon.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby. We're not done yet. Some of us are out here to educate and inspire. This year, 2020, is the year we gotta show me the money in the cash flow. I'm Dr. Pat. This is the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By.
Visit thedrpatshow.com.
Hello, I'm Carrie Kadambi, and this is your Spirited Exchange Moment. Do you want to be the best you can be? Do you want to live your dream life? Anything is possible when you choose to consciously evolve. Begin by noticing your reaction to things in your everyday life. When a reaction is uncomfortable, this is a sign that there's an inner root cause that has triggered you, and it's calling out to be healed. Take action to transform and heal those limiting beliefs or trauma experiences that no longer serve you. Take time daily to recognize your reactions and then set out to heal and release them using one of many somatic healing modalities available. How will you choose to evolve today? Join me on Transformation Talk Radio for my show, A Spirited Exchange. For more information about me, visit thedivineguidancegift.com.
Get empowered on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Soul Wisdom Abundance. I am your host, Jennifer Bloom, and I'm here with my guest, Angela Johnson. And Angela, before we step back into the conversation, can you let everybody know how to learn more about you and where they can find you to learn more about you?
Yeah. So Angela Johnson is the best place.com is the best place to go. Angela two L's. So you can find me that way on Instagram and also Facebook. I spend more time on Instagram, but my website's a great place. I've got free resources there. Some awesome intuitive marketing is really my main body of work. So for those of you who are business owners, that's a great place to start exploring how to use your intuition in your marketing and actually have marketing be way easier.
Fantastic. All right. So we spent the first part of this conversation coming in and talking about getting out of the head, getting into the body, feeling. And what I'd like to shift into is you can spend as much time unconsciously in the being state as you can in the doing state, right? So when you're talking with your clients, how do you help them understand when is it time to take that action step? When do you know enough and let yourself be ready to move forward?
Well, and just like what you were saying before, there's this hybrid of asking for help and receiving that, but making sure that it's actual guidance and not just telling you someone telling you what to do, someone giving you their one size fits all formula. You know, and you think about like none of us fit in a box. We don't fit in a formula. And so it's interesting that we keep looking for this magic ingredient or the six steps to do whatever, make six figures or change your health or find the love of our life. Like we keep looking for these shortcuts. I love what you said, like shortcut is listening to your intuition. Yeah. And so like my favorite way is to ask questions. And so if a coach, especially if someone's calling themselves a coach, but they're never asking you a question, they're actually not a coach. That's a consultant. And that's not a bad thing. Just know who you're hiring, right? And so when we are asked questions and truly expansive questions, or there's no attachment to the answer, that is actually a really beautiful practice of deepening our intuition. Because when there's space for question and curiosity, then there's also space for a truth to emerge. And so, for example, you know, a client of mine, she was marketing a what we call a mini experience. And when people work with me, the mini experience is like a webinar or something that you're giving people a taste test of deeper work with you. Mm. And so she had two kind of back to back. And I said, so in truth, did you try to hurry this? Did you try to push? She goes, oh yeah, I totally tried to push this. Said, so is that maybe why there's some resistance, you know, happening? She's like, dang it. Yes. And I said, okay. So all this is information. It's just information. And so now you've learned something about your pace, about your rhythm, about how much energy and capacity you have to actually put behind a launch like this. And so now we've got to look at, okay, what are the next steps so that you can honor the couple of people who've signed up for this first mini experience and also plan the rest of your marketing for 2020, which feels like we're, you know, marketing and planning in an apocalypse. You
know? That's a whole other conversation, right? Yeah.
So we learned something here. Right. And so, but I could have told her, well, I think you put those two things, you know, too close together. Well, that doesn't really serve her. She had to come to that own arrangement. And I asked the question, because if she totally felt like, no, this is the perfect time, this is great, then awesome. Then I can support her and maybe ask her some other questions about, well, let's really look into this. Right. And so it's approaching things with curiosity, with an open mind and without attachment. And those are the things that if someone isn't working with you in that capacity, then chances are your vision, your desires, the way that you uniquely do things is being buried in someone else's formula, someone else's thing, which we can see these formulas and go, oh man, I want those results. And we see it working for other people. But the question is what is my way to do this?
Yes. So I've got three things I want to say here. The first is when we see it working for other people, we don't really even know if it's working for them, right? Because there's the numbers that are on the front end and put out to the public, but what's happening on the back end, right? You might be bringing in six and seven figures, but as you know, you might be spending at least that much, right? Those numbers make me angry. If I hear another thing about be a six or a seven figure business owner, or you're not a real business owner, talk about the shame involved in that, right? Okay. You know, and so then the other piece here is, well, there's two other pieces. So one of the pieces that I want to bring out is that I think a lot of times where we rush ourselves, you're talking about your client who was kind of rushing into those webinars, and I don't certainly know what was going on with your client. I think that one of the things that we forget are some of the universal principles in that, and this is why it's important to understand your money relationship, is that we get to trust that we're always being supported, mm-hmm. right? I think that, you know, as business, we're in business, we want to make money. We need to earn a salary. We live on the 3D planet. And so there's that sense of, I really need to push forward hard so that I can receive what I need to receive. Mm-hmm. And there is some truth. There needs to, you know, there's always going to be some form of action. And yet when we're doing it from that place of fear, that's as hard on our financial bottom line as it is trying to follow somebody else's model.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, taking that, you know, this whole self-trust is a direct correlation of, do I trust the universe? Mm. I believe that you can't have one or the other. You have to have. Like, mm-hmm. if I don't trust myself, I really don't trust the universe. Or if I say I trust the universe, but I don't really trust myself, no. Like, they're BFFs, they go together.
right, because we are divinity.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And speaking of, you know, timing of launches or timing of, like, when you want to hold an event, like, I love that you said, you know, always trust and support it. So if you always trust that you're supported, when would you like to have your event? Or what kind of launch schedule would you like to have? And it right away, like, questions like that get me to see, oh, where am I trying to force this?
Yeah.
Rather than working in tandem with the universe, there is something far greater if I just allow myself to be carried by that current instead of forcing the current to happen.
Love it. Yes. 1,000 times. Yes. And that just takes practice, right? That takes getting in and realizing, huh, I was slogging upstream that whole way, right? I could have just really floated and been taken care of, right? And yeah. And I certainly have had those experiences where, you know, oh, look at this product out the door. And it, like, crickets. And of course there were crickets because for a variety of reasons, right? There just wasn't that connection. So, all right, I don't know if this is an unfair question or not, but what do you think is the percentage that belongs to universal law and what percentage belongs to our preparation and our ability to go through a launch sequence in terms of impact on our bottom line?
That's a great question. And so knowing that I have a tendency to work harder than I need to, you know, yeah. I would say it's 50-50. And what I'm working on is getting that to be like 75% universe, 25% my actual effort. You know, and it's
yeah,
like being open to that possibility of like, oh, I wonder if it could even be easier. You know, and so in total transparency, like, you know, that like allowing the universe to really support me. When people talk about manifesting and things just kind of falling out of the sky or falling in your lap, I'm like, but you also did the prep work. You know, when like there is this community that talks about, you know, just energetically calling in the people. And it's like that. And they said, that's the only marketing you need to do. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's bullshit. Like, you can't just sit in a cave, be like, well, someday some people will find about a program that they don't even know where to find it. Like, we've got to do our part in it. And so this is, you know, feel free to disagree with me, but I'm like,
well, I think it's, I do think it's a combination. I mean, I think that, you know, if I have all my products in this office and I sit and I ask for people to come to me, I'm making it really hard. Now, I mean, right? I think that eventually, I mean, if I believe in the law, I have to believe that eventually I'm going to have a business. But I think I'm going to be directed to do it in ways that don't include just sitting in my office with my products stacked all around me. I think that's ultimately the way that that would work out. Now, on the other hand, I do think that things can be a lot easier than we make them, right? When I, you know, I've been doing a prayer practice recently and putting declarations out to the universe and doing it in some really big ways of what I'm asking for. I'm asking for things in ways that I've never asked for before. Mm-hmm. And I'm really noticing that people show up out, they do, they feel like they show up out of the clear blue sky. And maybe that's through an introduction to somebody else. Or, you know, somebody hears about something and they, you know, I watch sales come through my website. I think, how did you find that? I'm not promoting that at all. You must, right? Must be the perfect person, right? But and then as I trust that, the momentum, hard word for me to say apparently today, the momentum continues. Yeah. But if I never put a product out there, right? I had to do the work to put the product out there or the structure and the website for them to find me and have ability for them to pay me. Right. So yeah, I don't know if it's ever going to be 100% universe, but boy, we could get close.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's exactly what, you know, exactly that is, you know, and I think one of the reasons I get kind of fired up is about like, you have to do something. And because I've had the opposite experience of, you know, for decades, it's like, well, if I just do more affirmations, if I get my chakras aligned, I was doing like every kind of modality. And it was all about weight, love, and money. Like, if you look at any journal,
the big three.
That crap, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
My money didn't start changing until I started doing something different. Mm-hmm. Like, I couldn't take the same actions but try to change all the energy and try to change my mindset. Like, for years I thought I had a money mindset problem when what I really had was a money habit problem. Like, I had to change my habits, which then showed me like, wow, I'm actually capable of having money. And then it was like this thing that happened with the universe of like, things flow and things happen. And I have the same experience of like, people just find me. I'm going, how did you? I didn't even market that. And so there's that magic. And, you know, and I tell my clients and said, you know, industry, and I do a lot of online marketing stuff, and online marketing, you have to have a list size of this much because then your conversion rate is this much. And I'm like, that's all just crap because you don't have magic on your side. You know, like, we have magic. We are using universal principles in addition to marketing strategies. Like, to me, that is such a beautiful combination. And that's a co-creation.
Yes. Yes. And yes. And I think that sometimes, especially when we first start learning about, The type of healing that we can do for ourselves, taking ourselves out of pattern, taking ourselves out of old beliefs, we can get really excited about it. And at the same time, sometimes it's a way to hide, right? Like, oh, okay, if I just get, or it's a manifestation of an old, of a bigger, deeper belief of, oh, I'm not enough. So there must be something else broken, right? And if I can just fix what's broken, then I'll be able to follow Coach XYZ's program and it'll all be fine.
Right.
Right. So, you know, again, as I teach about the money relationship, the very first thing that I want people to know is that you're in charge. You have to take ownership of that relationship. You can't just sort of sit back and say, well, I hope God delivers today. Right. You have to be up front, because the divine, God, nature, whatever you want to say, whatever your word is for that, which is bigger than us. Right. The divine and money, who are these three parts of the money relationship, you, money, and the divine. Money and divine don't have any free will. They're following what you're asking, you know, and the divine has access to anything bigger and bolder than we could really ever imagine. But it acts through your intention. Mm-hmm. Right. So you have to be comfortable in that position, which doesn't always, you know, it's not always easy, because we haven't been taught to be there.
Well, and I think that, you know, to really own that, to take accountability for that, we do create our reality, is also the flip side of that, is I have to own the shit that I've created.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like, no, I don't want to do that. Like, that's incredible. But judgment's optional. Acknowledging it, and just really owning it. Yeah. Like, there's no actual energy there. It's just like, oh, cool. Just like what I was saying before, like, it's just information. But when we start making up a story about it, and then we start perpetuating this lie that I feel like is a universal lie, oh, there must be something wrong with me. It's like, right. No, there's nothing wrong with you. It's just simply, what do you want to change? What do you want to create?
And yeah. Who do you want to be? Right. Who do you want to be?
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you get in that curiosity state, that's when people like you show up, right? Who marry the two pieces of taking the action steps, things that are going to, I'll say, that are going to work, but they work from the perspective of there's a process and there's a way to connect with people. And here are the different strategies that you can use, what resonates with you. But you start from the origin point of you matter. Right? Your alignment matters.
Yeah.
It really yeah.
Is. I just wanted to highlight something you said, that you're doing this prayer practice and asking for things like you've never asked for them. And I'm so inspired by that. So I really appreciate you saying that. And I feel like that's part of this conversation too, is, are we willing to ask? You know, coming from my background of, it's about how hard you work and
right.
Really hard, and it can so easily get into that grind. It's like, wow, I was exhausted for 2 decades. I wonder why, you know, like rocket science here. And so I just, you know, that's part of this too, is, you know, I'm willing to ask for it. And when we ask, when we get that little nudge of, oh, maybe I should talk to so-and-so, or maybe I should do this. It's those little whispers that I find that we talk ourselves out of, and that the universe is like, hello, like I'm giving it to you, and you're stopping the process. You're stopping the flow. Like, let's stop talking yourself out of these little inspirations that you think are insignificant or it's not the right time. But there's a reason why that stuff is showing up for us, that we're thinking about it. We're getting that idea.
So true. You know, I literally had that experience this morning. I have a birthday in a couple of weeks. My driver's license expires on my birthday, right? So, and I want to get a real ID. Minnesota is a state where, anyway, we still can fly without it. I had a block of time this morning for writing. I've got a book that I'm working on. So I was in the middle of my writing block, and I hear the words in my head, make your appointment now. Like, but this is my writing block. Mm. Long story short, get to the website. There's literally one appointment left before my birthday. It happens to be when a client canceled, and I can go in the middle of the day, right? So if we let ourselves experiment a little bit, right, yeah. When we hear those voices, if we follow through on it, and that's a small thing, right? Yeah, it interrupted my writing, and yeah, it's hard for me to get back in the flow when I leave it and come back. But it was easy to follow. There's really no big skin in the game. And the more we can experiment and allow ourselves to say, oh, yeah, that worked out well, right? The easier it becomes. Mm-hmm. So we just have a few moments left. If there is one more thing that you would really like to leave people with, mm-hmm. in terms of this power of being, and how it impacts your bottom line and your life experience, because we don't want to separate those two, what would you share?
Trust yourself more. I trust yourself more. There's, you know, and people look for that proof of, well, can I really do this? The proof is that the vision came to you and no one else. That's it. And so trust yourself more. Like, you have what it takes. Get curious, have a lot more fun, be willing to have a lot more joy and work.
Yeah. Beautiful. Beautifully said, joy. Who knew, right? We could ask for that. Yeah. All right, Angela, thank you so much for your time today. It was lovely to have the conversation. There's so much richness involved. And I'm going to encourage everyone who is listening to come over to angelajohnson.com. You have a lovely free offer for people. And I know you have a lot more resources too. And again, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for listening, everyone. And thank you so much for your time, Jennifer.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we're going to take a short break. And when we get back, I'm going to talk a little bit more in depth about the power of being on your bottom line from a money perspective. So stay tuned and we'll be back soon.
Living a richly abundant life sound too good to be true? Listen in to Richly Abundant Women with Julie Steelman on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Embrace a vibrant future of breaking free financially and creating a richly abundant life filled with prosperity and growth. To learn more about Julie Steelman and Richly Abundant Women, visit www.juliesteelman.com.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharged phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today. Or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Get empowered
on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Soul Wisdom Abundance. I am your host, Jennifer Bloom. My guest, Angela Johnson, and I have been talking about this marrying of the being state, listening to intuition, listening to what your body has to say, and taking action so that you can create what you want on the planet. And what I'd like to do in this last segment is talk more specifically about why it's so important to have the being state and talk about it from a universal law perspective. Okay, so that you really understand what's going on when you include this being pattern or this being habit in your day-to-day life, because you know we aren't taught to be still. We are taught, like Angela was speaking about, we're taught to do and work hard and push and work our fingers to the bone. And that's for a variety of reasons. There's a whole history behind all of that. But it's a belief structure that's been passed down from generation to generation. And it's passed down with love, meaning people before us are trying really hard to make sure that we do well when we're in our lives, right? And there's this deeper understanding, though, that we can have about how doing gets in the way of creating what you want, all right? So the most important part, and I mentioned this in the last segment, but I just want to repeat it because it's so important. The most important part of getting into that being state in regards to money is to really look at the money relationship, right? You are in a relationship with money, and you are the one who's in charge. The divine and money do not have any free will. I think I probably say that every single time in a podcast, but again, it's really important to remember because that's not what we've been taught. If you don't allow yourself to be in charge, then really what's happening is we resort to acting out of habits or acting out of pattern. So, and what I mean by pattern is those habits of thought, those patterns of belief that we carry from one generation to the next. Patterns such as you need to work really hard, or you're not enough unless your bank account is XYZ, or you need to earn whatever it is that you are receiving, okay, or that you want to receive. Right, there's any number of patterns, infinite patterns, because it's as infinite as we are. But when you allow yourself to step into being in charge of that money relationship, it's really that first step of breaking out of pattern and instead working from the you that is divine. Right? So when you work from that place of divinity, you are working from a place of unlimited resource. You're working from that understanding that you are of the same material that is unlimited. You also have a tendency to slip more into a place of joy, right? If I'm really listening to who I am and what I want to do, and I'm following through on those things that I want to do, whether it's this really simple example like from before where I got the one appointment that was perfect timing for me, or whether it's something bigger like putting together a program for your clients that people love, right? You have the more of the opportunity to be in a place of joy. And when you're in joy, you are in vibrational resonance with money. That's the energy of money. The energy of money is joy. And the more you are of equal resonance, the more you are going to allow to flow through you. And you can think about it as, I just had an image pop up and I am not electrically inclined, so I'll say what I saw. But if you think about electricity flowing through a circuit, in fact, if you even think about it, I'm much more biologically involved, right? So if you have neurons that are passing information one to the next, right? If you have something that impedes that flow of energy, that flow of electricity, and from one neuron to the next, or within some sort of electrical unit, you're not going to get as much flow, right? If you have something that's interrupting or resisting the energy flow, you don't receive as much. When you are in that place of joy, it's as if that resistance leaves and you are able to flow so much more. Okay? So when you are putting yourself in charge of that money relationship, when you are acknowledging that you get to ask for what you want, okay, you are opening yourself to receive. You are allowing, you're taking the resistance off the parts that are receiving, and you now can receive more. That's a pretty general way of saying things, but I'm going to, when I say receiving, I'm talking about receiving ideas that can turn into financial a reward or you can actually you can have people find you in brand new ways, and the products you've already created, the services you've already created, people are going to be able to find you much more easily, right? Another aspect to this is that, as again, you put yourself in charge of your money relationship, and you do that from the understanding that you're part of the divine, and you do that from the understanding that you have access to whatever the divine has access to, what that starts to change within each and every one of us is our expectation of receiving. Now, expectation carries a really nasty connotation, right? We don't want to be that somebody who is expecting something. Sometimes we get into, you know, mind games that say, well, if I expect it, it won't come. So if I don't expect it, it will come. Or I must not be a nice person if I'm expecting something to happen to me. I should just let other people put good things on me. Right there, just take a moment. If this is, you know, just take a moment and write down the word and write down all of the connotations you have with expectation. But here's the thing: I'm not talking about expectation as a behavior, right? Where I'm expecting somebody to do something for me. I'm talking about expectation as a vibration. When you think about the level of vibration, so let me take a step to the side here. Think about a whole set of tuning forks, right? And so when you hit that, the tuning fork, there's a certain frequency, right? And the bigger tuning forks are going to have a deeper resonance, right? A small tiny tuning fork is going to have the higher fine frequency. When you are in the higher fine frequencies, in terms of universal law, you are much more in alignment with receiving, right? When you're in that really high fine frequency, it's kind of like this, right? I expect it and it comes. I expect it and it comes. There's no, and the reason why that is because there's no resistance. You're not dragging your heels. You're not saying, I really want this. Oh, but I don't want to look bad, or, oh, I want to put this program out there, but, oh, it feels a little bit unsafe to be seen, right? Those are going to be lower vibrations. When you're up in that vibration of expectation, it's a knowing. And when you're in that knowing, you are shifting the formless form into form almost instantly. Okay. So the more that you work with that divine relationship that's within your money relationship, the more you take charge, the more you honor that relationship with the divine, the more you can move into trust and expectation. That changes your bottom line because you are able to receive in a much broader way. Okay. Another factor to think about here is that the more we put ourselves in charge, the more that we are and the more connected into the divine that we become, the more we're able to hear. All right. The more we're able to receive the inspiration from the divine that says, call the DMV right now, or pick up that book, or connect with Angela Johnson. She's got a lot to say. And as we follow those breadcrumbs, we get to acknowledge the divine is leading us to what's going to be our greatest payoff. Okay? And the more that we can be in that space of inspiration, the less we're in a place of resistance. Okay? The less we're in that place of being in pattern. And the more connected we are, the more we get to be in that place of flow. And I would recommend playing with being in that connection place There are lots of different systems that can help you get connected, that can help you understand that relationship with the divine. The paradigm I love is soul language, learning both your personal soul languages as well as your money languages gives you an incredible amount of information about your connection with the divine. It helps you understand your relationship with money in a brand new way. Okay, so those are two specific steps that you can take if this is resonating with you. Okay, but the bottom line here is to allow yourself to give yourself as much time as possible to be in the being state. Do it until, it's sort of a funny way to say it, but do it until you feel uncomfortable, right? And then you can switch back into doing. But the idea is that you're going to move seamlessly between being and doing. Because you're going to be in that connected, aligned being state. You're going to be inspired. You're going to call the DMV. You're going to get a great appointment. And you can go back to what it was you were doing before. Okay. All right. So I'm going to let that be the end of the conversation for today. I'm delighted that you have chosen to join in, to listen. I really would love to hear all about what you're thinking about these topics. So please join me over on my Facebook page, Soul Abundance Guide. Let me know. Tell me what's coming up with you. Tell me what questions you have. Tell me what you want to hear about. All right. So you can continue listening in the first and third Fridays of each month. And we will be back again in a couple of weeks with another podcast. So until then, everybody, take care and prosperous blessings.
Thank you for listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Jennifer Bloom or listen to past shows, visit JenniferBloom.com. You can subscribe to this podcast on any of your favorite podcasting outlets. Simply search Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.